Any other questions from board members? Well, again, thank you. This is really, it's going to be very helpful to this board in dealing more actively with climate issues. So, Peter, are we ready for the...
Yeah. Tom, our next speaker will be Kendall DeLizer with American Forest, and she will talk about the carbon budget model and a project that we are beginning with American Forest to project forest growth and yield and the carbon consequences of different management scenarios. So with that...
Great. Thank you. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm just trying to get Zoom to cooperate and let me show my slides. Can everyone see my slides and not my notes?
We see your notes.
That's what I thought. Give me 1 second. Apologies. The Zoom bar has gone away.
You know, if we can run the presentation.
There you go.
We should have it now. Apologies for the technical difficulties. Thank you for bearing with me.
Not a problem.
Tom, sorry to interrupt. Cindy had her hand raised real quick.
Go ahead.
Cindy, can you... you have a question right now?
Just a comment. I'm going to have to depart in about 15 minutes. And since we were not yet started on this presentation, I thought I'd just jump in to basically say goodbye to everybody. And to thank staff for putting together a very good, informative, and productive day.
Okay. Well, you never know, Cindy. These terms seem to go on interminably, so.
That's true. That's true. Well, if this should in fact be the departure, just wish everyone a good rest of your year and a good remaining term for those of you still on.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Kendall, we can flip back to you now.
Excellent. Thank you. Cindy, sorry to see you go, but I believe this will be recorded. So if at any point you have questions on what I'm about to present on, feel free to reach out. So thank you all for having me here today. I'm really glad to be able to wrap up this great lineup of speakers talking about all kinds of really interesting ideas and projects around forest carbon accounting in Oregon. I've been invited here today to wrap up by talking about an upcoming project with ODF on the impacts of forest management on carbon sequestration and storage in Oregon. My name is Kendall DeLizer. I'm the Senior Manager of Forest and Climate with American Forests. To give you an idea of what I plan to walk us through today, just a bit of an introduction to who we are, this research team that will be working with ODF. Introduction to my organization, American Forests, and the rest of our modeling team. I will walk you through an idea of what we're doing. Verna just gave us a really great overview of the science behind the CBM model, which is our chosen model for this project. So I won't go through all of those details, but I'll just remind you of a few important points that are relevant to this project, and then give you some more details about our plan of work with ODF in Oregon. We'll talk about generally when this will be happening, an idea of our research timeline, and then finish up with a recap of really why this matters, backing out of the project details and talking about the ways that this can be used and the ways we hope this will be helpful. So a quick background on American Forests. We are the country's oldest forest conservation organization. We were founded in 1875. And we've been working in the space of forest management in various ways ever since. So as an organization, we work to create healthy and resilient forests that deliver essential benefits for climate, for people and social equity, for water, and for wildlife. We often work with local or state partners to do this in place, and we focus on helping our partners manage their forests to maximize the benefits under these four pillars of our research. So one of our fastest growing areas of focus is under this climate pillar. That's really my body of work. So our research in this area is driven by the relationship between forests, forest management, carbon, and climate. We all know at the most basic level that forests sequester carbon as they grow, and that this helps to slow climate change. But in climate mitigation and natural climate solutions so far, we can say a lot more about the carbon impacts of tree planting or conserving forests, because those things are relatively easy to calculate and work into greenhouse gas inventories or climate action plans. But the carbon impacts of forest management are trickier to quantify, because forest management means a lot of different things in a lot of different places. And so that bucket has been really a missing piece in the climate solutions conversation so far. So our goal with this research, generally as an organization and in our partnership with ODF, is to provide some answers and just provide some more information on what these carbon impacts of forest management actually are. We are doing this in collaboration with quite a few partners, as you can see here on our logo soup slide. We've been lucky to set up a really great core modeling and research team to help with these projects, led by us at American Forests with partners at the U.S. Forest Service, the Canadian Forest Service. We have Werner and his team really generously providing our time in kind. And then we have also some researchers from NIACS, the Northern Institute of Applied Climate Science, which is a research branch of the Forest Service that's based in Michigan. And then we have some researchers at Michigan State University in the Forest Carbon and Climate Program. So we've assembled this team to help us with our two different technical assistance grants that have been funded through the U.S. Climate Alliance, both with the goal of assessing the carbon impacts of forest management in two different sets of states. So our first project is with Maryland and Pennsylvania. Our second project is with the Lake States, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. American Forest was approached by these states to lead this research through the Climate Alliance grant program. And we are really making sure that we are prioritizing the needs of our state partners in these projects. We want to make sure that we're understanding their questions about forest management and carbon and climate, and then using our really great team with all of our expertise to get some good answers for them. We are essentially the only team now working to use the CBM in the US in this way. We heard about a lot of other projects and research that's been going on comparing different carbon models and going through some model runs. But we're using this in a more targeted way with states in a way to support state climate action or inform forest management and policy. And so because we are supporting the Climate Alliance, that is a goal of trying to provide information for states so that they can be more effective in their climate action planning. So through our work with the Climate Alliance and with the Canadian Forest Service on these other projects, we ended up connected with ODF, and they approached us to expand this work into Oregon. We're really excited to add Oregon as our first Pacific Northwest state, and we're looking forward to thinking about the great forests and the really interesting forest management considerations that you all are facing. This is currently a separate project than the Pacific Northwest Forest Carbon Initiative that we heard about earlier, but there are certainly a lot of similarities and potential synergies that we're looking forward to exploring as well. So I'll come back to our work with ODF in a few minutes in more detail and tell you more about what that will entail. But first, I'd like to outline our methodology a little more generally for these projects and start with a refresher or a recap on the important pieces of the CBM model that Werner just introduced to us. So this carbon budget model of the Canadian forest sector, the CBM, was developed by the carbon accounting team of the Canadian Forest Service, which is the team that Werner leads, and also the team involved in our research collaborative. So we're really lucky to have really the foremost experts on this model, people who built it, working with us to figure out how to apply this model in the US, which is an exciting and unique science opportunity. At its core, the CBM is a model of forest ecosystem carbon dynamics. It's designed for the operational scale, but it can be applied down at the stand level or up at state, regional, or national levels as well. As Werner mentioned, this links to an associated framework for harvested wood products model, which we will be using in our analysis with ODF so that we can track the carbon in harvested wood products once they've left the forest. And this also gives us an opportunity to help track the economic impacts of our modeling scenarios. If we assign essentially a market value to all of those harvested wood products, we can get a sense of what the economic value of various management scenarios may be. It's important to remember the model is spatially referenced. This is not the spatially explicit version of the model, so results are not tied to specific locations. We won't get results from a specific plot on the ground somewhere. And we will not really be getting maps of forest carbon across the state of Oregon. But we can reference types of forest stands through the modeling using inventory classifiers. So classifiers are what we use to describe various characteristics of the forest. So these can be things like 80-year-old ponderosa pine or 180-year-old Doug fir. Can also include ownerships like private land or state forest land. And we can use these classifiers in combination to specify types of forest stands across the landscape. And then we can use the same classifiers to filter our results at the end, so we can see what's happening to carbon in each one of those groups across the landscape. And this is really useful for a state-level analysis like what we're planning with ODF. So the CBM itself as a model is pretty customizable, and it can model basically anything that we tell it to. So this allows us to compare ecosystem carbon results for alternate forest management scenarios, basically by modifying assumptions about everything in this list. So a forest management scenario will contain all the management actions or natural disturbances that we expect to occur on the landscape over a given time frame. And each one of those scenarios needs specific data about every item in this list. And we can create alternate management scenarios by changing assumptions about any one of these things. So this is a big list of data and inputs. So there are a lot of different ways that we can tweak the model for these management scenarios. We'll also be able to feed in Oregon-specific inventory data to use locally accurate growth and yield curves. And if we know there's a certain local management practice done in a certain way, we can bring in the data to reflect that. So everything is as specific to Oregon and its current forest management as we can make it. Now, it's important to note that this model is not predictive. So it's not going to tell us if or when wildfire might happen. We have to code in or feed in everything. So we have to tell the model when events will happen in our simulation, and then the model will tell us what happens to carbon as those events occur over time. So this is a very powerful model. It can give us some really useful results, but it also means that because we have this power, we have to be very careful about how our team parameterizes the model and how we're developing those modeling scenarios, the forest management scenarios. The CBM doesn't really have any training wheels. It won't tell you if a certain management action or a scenario doesn't make sense. It will take what you feed it, crunch a bunch of numbers, work some magic, and spit out some results that we can then use in a lot of useful ways. So the onus is on us, on our management, or our modeling team, to make sure that everything that we put into the model and every scenario that we develop is grounded in science and grounded in reality on the ground for Oregon. So that's why it's important that our work is based on sound science. As Werner mentioned, the CBM has 30 plus years of research and science and refinement behind it. It's been used in a lot of publications. It's being used in 26 countries, I believe. Of note here is that it includes already over 200 different disturbance or management types, with enough research backing them up that we do have a pretty good idea of what they do to forest carbon. So we can take any one of those and apply it to the forest in Oregon and have a pretty good sense of what will happen. The model also follows IPCC reporting guidelines, especially for the harvested wood products portion, And so it fits into these internationally recognized frameworks, which is a strength for building on sound science. We've also, we are building on a model for expanding the science into the US, albeit at smaller scales. There's a team at the Forest Service that's used the CBM in various projects. So starting with some smaller case studies in South Carolina and Wisconsin, the team then moved on to an assessment of state forest lands in Pennsylvania, and then expanded to all forest lands in Vermont. I believe that research project is either still in progress or just wrapping up. Because we're in Oregon, you just heard about two great previous studies, the ecosystem carbon and the harvested wood products reports. And we're lucky enough to be able to couch our results in those other studies and to use the inputs and the data from those to help us parameterize this version of the model. The last important thing is that our team is committed to surveying the existing science to fill in knowledge gaps. We're using this model in the US at greater scales than it's ever been used before, and we may need some additional research to get it right or get it as close to right as we can. So as I mentioned on the previous slide, we can tell the model to do whatever we want it to. And that's useful as long as we have enough scientific certainty to actually believe the results. So there are over 200 disturbance and management types already in the model, but what about future climate conditions or different types of thinning or regeneration techniques? Our team, if those are scenarios of interest, will take that on and we'll review what's already been published about those practices in Oregon or in the region until we have enough confidence in the data to really feed this into the model and believe the results. There may also be some certain practices or questions where we can't find enough data to really feel confident. And that in and of itself is an important result of this project. But there are some questions about forests and carbon in Oregon that need more research on the ground before we can bring them into this type of modeling project. So how are we planning to do all of this? We'll start by reminding ourselves about the high-level question for this research project, a question we've heard echoed quite a few times today already. Just want a better understanding of what are the carbon impacts of forest management in Oregon. Now, this may seem very broad because forest management can mean a lot of different things. And that's why we've developed this work plan to help us find some meaningful answers to this question. So our work plan is broken up into four different phases. Phase one is all about developing those management scenarios, the modeling scenarios that I mentioned earlier. Essentially, our goal is to identify the research questions that we want to answer with this model. The questions that we ask of the model are going to dictate how useful our results are going to be. And so we think this kind of framing of research questions is very important. This will include both a baseline, kind of business as usual, and those alternative management scenarios. And we want this to be informed by a stakeholder engagement process instead of my team coming up with questions that we think are academically interesting. We'd like to really make sure that this is rooted in what's interesting for Oregon and everyone involved in forest management in your state. I'll be talking more about our vision for that process in the next slide. But once we've completed this phase one of developing our modeling scenarios with input from the community and stakeholders, we'll move on to collecting our data inputs. We are going to pull on as many different reputable data sources as we can. We'll use FIA data for our inventory. We can pull from the TPO database. We can use different Forest Service reports. We'll also take Oregon-specific information into account. We'll look at forest management plans, silvicultural guides, and any other information that we can get about forest management in Oregon specifically. As I mentioned, we will review the science behind the management impacts on carbon at this point. We need to know if we have enough data to really bring these into the model in a meaningful way. And so this is the point where we'll go off and survey the literature. We'll talk to other experts who have already been doing this modeling work. We'll try to find the data with enough certainty to be able to include it in the model. And that feeds into us parameterizing all the modeling scenarios, the fun part where we get to put numbers in a spreadsheet and then run it into a computer program. That's phase three, really running the model itself, refining our data and our scenarios as necessary to make sure that we get it right. Because we envision modeling multiple management scenarios, we can start actually rolling out some of the first scenario results as they're ready, so that we can start having conversations about the results of these scenarios instead of in one lump, big chunk at the end. We can spread that out over time. And discussing early scenarios may actually help us refine some of the later scenarios that we run through the model. But once we've run everything, once we're happy with how it's come out, we'll move on to interpreting the results, probably the most interesting part of this whole project, really just going back to answer our research questions from phase one and understanding what our answers are, or if we don't have any answers, why that might be. We then take it a step further to consider the forest management or policy implications of all of these results. And of course, we will be working with ODF very closely in this stage, but we'd like to also share the results with all of you, the members of the Board of Forestry, and all the stakeholders that we engaged in the beginning of the process. So speaking of those stakeholders, this is a very important step. And so I'd like to talk a little bit more about our stakeholder engagement plan, especially for the phase one of the scenario development. Essentially, this comes down to our modeling team and ODF wanting input from the Oregon forest community to help us develop our management scenarios, because we know there are a lot of voices and a lot of perspectives to consider. And we'd essentially like your answers to the question of what research questions we should ask about forest management and carbon in Oregon. These can be things like, what are the current carbon sequestration trends in the state? Possibly modeling or simulating the impacts of the 2020 fire year. We can compare practices and see if practice X or practice Y captures more carbon long-term. And we will get these answers or get an idea of your research questions by assembling a stakeholder group in a series of virtual meetings. Building on that list of stakeholders involved in the previous two studies that Glenn and Todd told us about today, we'll also send out advanced participant surveys to collect input on these potential research questions. And then we'll work to flesh them out together during each meeting. The idea being that in the survey, we can ask for as much or as little input as people would like to give us. And then when we have questions to flesh out in each meeting, things for people to react to, this can help give each meeting some structure and some focus, which I think is important for virtual stakeholder engagement meetings. And ultimately, that will help guide our team more effectively towards actionable or modelable scenarios. Remember that since our work is based on the sound science, that's really something we're emphasizing, we may not be able to include every single research question that's put forward in these stakeholder meetings, especially if there's not enough science to really model them accurately. But we'll be working with ODF to understand and to refine the list of scenarios to make sure that we're covering a broad range of options and we're fairly representing what comes up in these meetings. We'd also like to convene a technical work group. Those of our stakeholder groups that have good technical forestry knowledge to advise us on the silvicultural details involved in each scenario to make sure that we are getting harvest ages or management targets or prescribed fire timings or other scenarios correctly calibrated for Oregon itself. So this sounds like a lot of work. And we have an idea of how we'd like this to spread out over time, a bit of our research timeline. This, of course, all starts with this presentation to all of you here today. Moving on from here, we are gearing up to move right into the stakeholder engagement portion in our phase one, beginning with some surveys and meetings. We anticipate this would take 3 to 4 months. We know we're heading into a couple different holiday seasons. We'd like to make sure that we give this enough time to really fully represent the broad range of perspectives in Oregon. And so we'd like to make sure that we build in enough time to this project to make sure that we are able to fully address those questions. Once we've done that, we can move on to the actual scenario development, the science review, the data collection. This could take 2 to 3 months for our team, depending on how much science to review, how much data we have to collect. Depends a lot on those lists of scenarios that come out of phase one. The model runs in refinement may take another 3 to 4 months, again, depending on how many scenarios we're modeling and how complicated they are to bring into the model. And then once we have those results and some data interpretation, the final reporting phase may take another 3 months or so. That includes working with ODF, that includes reporting back out to the Board of Forestry and to all the stakeholders to be engaged. So we anticipate a finish by December of next year. But as I mentioned, we can start rolling out results from scenarios as they're ready. So through that model refinement, model run and refinement phase, we will start, we anticipate having some results to start sharing and discussing with everyone. Now, just to take a step back from all these nitty-gritty project details, I want us to wrap up with reminding ourselves why this matters and really why my team and I are especially excited by this project. I think the first point is that this gives us an opportunity to model a broad range of forest management scenarios. We know that there are lots of voices and perspectives about forest management in Oregon, and we have the opportunity here to consider the broad range that reflects the interests of lots of Oregon stakeholders and lots of viewpoints. And I think that's very exciting and very worthwhile project to dig into. Using this model, the CBM and its linked harvested wood products models, we have the ability to assess the carbon sequestered in forests and harvest wood products and to think about the associated economic effects, which, as we've heard, is key to a systems approach to thinking about forests, carbon, and management. And I think that's very important for understanding the full breadth of forests and the forest sector in Oregon and their influences on carbon. Now, the information and the results from this model can be applied in a lot of different ways. As a minimum, we can all walk away with a better understanding of the climate mitigation potential of the forests and the forest sector in Oregon. But we can also move this into something a little bit more interesting or more complex. We can think about integrating carbon management into policies and programs for forest owners in the state. We can think about integrating carbon as another management objective in forest management planning. We are hoping to, at the least, encourage more of a dialogue, an open conversation about forests and carbon in Oregon, because we know there are a lot of complex issues to work through. And we're certainly wanting to encourage and hopefully enable the inclusion of forests in state-level climate action planning. Now, we've seen this look a lot of different ways depending on the state partners that we're working with. And through the Climate Alliance, we've seen a lot of different states at different phases of this process. So generally, this can run the gamut from using our scenario results to help identify effective forest management practices that optimize carbon sequestration. We can think about prioritizing those practices on state lands or other lands where it's appropriate and where it's feasible. We can think about incentivizing those effective practices for private landowners. We can think about the market side of things and state policies to strengthen and support wood product markets to continue the demand for forest management for harvested wood products. We can also then think about feeding the carbon quantification results from the CBM into greenhouse gas inventories and making sure that forests are better and more accurately represented there. Ultimately, our goal with this project is not to be prescriptive of one certain option or scenario above others. We are just hoping to provide some more useful data points in the conversations around forests and carbon and climate in Oregon. And we're looking forward to working with everyone. Now, with that, I will thank you for your time. I believe we do have a few minutes left for questions. And if we don't get to questions today, please feel free to reach out and email me with any questions or feedback.
Great, thank you very much for that presentation. I see Brendan McComb has a question or comment.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Kendall, that was great, and you have a very ambitious project ahead of you, so good luck with that. I think it's gonna be fascinating. When I hear that you're going to be simulating forest management, I think back to the kinds of models that are used to simulate forest management activities, such as the Forest Vegetation Simulator. So I'm curious, are you using the CBM model to simulate silvicultural practices, or do you have another model that you're using in association with CBM to simulate those practices?
That's a great question. Thank you. This is one thing that we have been talking about a lot in our team. Ways to make sure that the CBM can integrate or build on the models that we already have in the US. the CBM is designed to work at the STAN level at the smallest scale. And so I think there are certainly, in our kind of science review phase, I think there are a lot of opportunities to use FVS to get a sense of the impacts of different management practices, maybe some of those different thinning practices, or the impacts of different fire regimes or something. We could certainly use FVS to create a growth and yield curve for that, that then feeds into the CBM that is applied to all of the forests of a certain age and forest type across the landscape. We don't have a set plan for that yet, largely because we're not sure what kind of scenario questions we'll be needing to focus on. But we're trying to make sure that we're at least prepared and aware of those opportunities. I think it could be really powerful to link up something like FVS and the CBM and pull in results from all the other models that we have at our disposal, or at the very least be able to compare them to what we get from the CBM.
Yeah, thank you. You probably have already done this, but you might check in with Mark Harmon. He and some colleagues have linked FVS to LandCarb to do some of the same sorts of what-if scenarios, maybe not quite the same, certainly not with the CBM, which I think is very powerful. So great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's a great suggestion, and we're certainly wanting to build on all the work and research that's already been going on in Oregon. So we'll make sure to follow up on that.
Great. Any other questions from board members? Seeing none, thank you again. This was, it's really good to hear about the fact that this is something in which the department and the board will be engaged over the coming year. Several of us won't be here, but we'll be looking to see those results a little over a year from now. So thanks again.
Sure. Thank you all for your time.
Hillary, Peter, should we, our next item is at 4. I don't know that we can.
So why don't we take, we were planning to take another break at this time. So you want a 10-minute break so that we can get them set up?
That would be great. Okay, so we'll get back here at 5 minutes of 4.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thank you.